The impact of the arts in Maine. It can be hard to quantify the economic impact of the arts, but a national organization called Americans for the Arts tries to do just that. Last year, it released a report showing some pretty impressive numbers for Maine, including this one. Arts and cultural organizations and their audiences spend more than $150 million each year in the state. And the impact is growing. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today we'll talk with the chair of the Maine Arts Commission and other arts leaders about the impact of arts in Maine. From art museums and historic sites to symphony performances, art walks, and more. We'll also learn about the brand new Maine Arts Awards, which have seven categories. The deadline for entries is March 8th. Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. From the Maine Public Radio studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Maine has a long tradition of commitment to the arts. Consider artist colonies like Monhegan and Agunquit, our world-class musicians and festivals, schools for art and design, historic sites, and more. The arts do more than inspire and entertain us. They also benefit Maine's economy, and that's what we're talking about today. Joining me in our studio, Julie Richard. She is Executive Director of the Maine Arts Commission. Saskia Reinholdt is an artist and owner of Reinholdt Consulting, LLC. And Larry Rubenstein is President of Arts Engage Me. As always, we want to hear from you. Have you seen the impact of arts in your community? If so, how? If not, what suggestions do you have to involve the artistic community in your town? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. And welcome to all of you. Julie, I'm going to start with you. You have worked at arts organizations all over the country. I was looking up your bio, Oklahoma, Arizona, New York State. How does the arts and cultural world here in Maine compare to the other places you've worked?
The thing I think that struck me about Maine from the very beginning is that arts are really intertwined into all aspects of our entire state, no matter how rural. And there are artists everywhere. I think one of the first people that I met when I came here made a comment to me about, you can't swing a dead cat without hitting an artist. And I thought that was pretty, it struck me a little bit. And then I, as I got to know people around the state and travel around the state, it really became amazing to me that farmers are artists and lobstermen are artists. And, you know, you might have one job, but there are artists everywhere in this state. And I'm not talking just about visual artists. I'm talking about musicians and, writers and people who are poets, you know, for fun, or they weave in their spare time or whatever the case might be. So I don't think I've ever lived in a place where there are so many people who practice art like here in Maine.
Larry, tell me about your experience serving on boards of arts organizations. I understand there have been a couple.
There have been a few. I'm not only just president of Arts Engagement, I'm also vice chairman of the Maine Arts Commission. But I am a trustee of the Portland Museum of Art. I'm on the board of the Portland Chamber Music Festival. I am the past president of the Friends of the Kochmar Organ. I am on the board of Choral Art. And I used to be on the board of the Bowdoin International Music Festival. So I've been participating in a lot of different arts things here in the state.
Why?
I love participation. And we moved up here in 2003 from New York when I retired. And one of the things that I found interesting about the state of Maine is that here everybody is a participant. In New York, most people are voyeurs. They sit, they watch, but they don't really participate. When we got up here, we found that the vehicle for participation on the part of most people was really quite open. And you could get involved in things. People loved to have you participate. And so we did, my wife and I. My wife is also involved. She's past president of the Maine Jewish Film Festival.
Saskia, your experience is so interesting. You're an artist, but you also consult with arts organizations sort of on the other side. You're using both sides of your brain. And I'm wondering, what is your experience as an artist taught you about making arts organizations better, and what has your experience as a consultant taught you about what you wish artists knew?
Well, I've been working for a long time. I started my career teaching at different nonprofit arts and cultural centers and making my own art and selling it at places like the Four Seasons. I lived in Hawaii doing that and spent some time in New Hampshire and Vermont teaching. And then when I moved to Maine, my husband and I opened a cooperative art gallery in Kingfield and got about 24 local artists. As Julie said, they just come out of the woodwork. They're everywhere, even in rural Maine. And I learned a lot by working with that many different personalities and helping to revitalize a Main Street with the art gallery. And from there, I really experienced the challenges of being an artist in rural Maine. And I knew when I moved there that if I was going to sell my art, I should be on the coast or someplace where there's more of a population. But that didn't stop us from living where we wanted to live. And from there, I really ended up, writing grants and doing community service types of things on the arts end. And it led into cultural planning. And it is something I had done in the past when I lived in New Hampshire. I helped write a master plan for civic art for Lebanon, New Hampshire. And I had the opportunity to do it for the High Peaks region where I was living. And it slowly unfolded into what I'm doing now, which is really supporting the arts and cultural sector, helping boost it across the state. And hopefully one day I'll get back to doing more painting. And I still practice art, but it's definitely secondary to the planning work that I've taken on.
Okay, well, let's get into the weeds of some of the what we're learning about the economics of art. Julie, give us an overview. First of all, how does one even quantify the impact of arts? What are the factors you look at, and what have you found?
So, for instance, the AEP5 study, which is the Arts and Economic Prosperity study that Americans for the Arts does, and we don't actually do the studies ourselves. We basically latch on to others who are doing the studies for us, which makes it a lot easier, first of all. But in the AEP5 study, that specifically is measuring the nonprofit sector. And so it measures audience data. So intercept surveys went out. We had five community partners for this study: Bangor, Belfast, Portland, the High Peaks region, and Waterville, which made it a lot easier to be able to collect the data. But then we also sent surveys out to other parts of the state that weren't covered by those community partnerships. And we asked organizations to survey their audiences and ask them things like, what did you go to dinner and how much did you spend? How far did you travel to get here? Did you spend money on parking, or did you spend money on anything else, babysitters, et cetera? So they counted all of that information that audiences provided. Plus, they looked at budget sizes and overall attendance for as many arts organizations as possible throughout the entire state.
So this big number, this $150 million a year, doesn't really even count how much money somebody spent going to a private art gallery and buying a painting.
No, this is only the nonprofit arts and culture sector. So there are different studies that have been done. There's there's another study that NEFA just completed this past summer.
NEFA?
NEFA is the New England Foundation for the Arts. Okay. They're based in Boston, and the Maine Arts Commission is part of NEFA. All of the state arts agencies in the six New England states are on the board of NEFA. So we partner together on different projects, and this is the first time a survey of this nature was done, and this was really counting creative workers in New England. So the creative workers that they counted were taken from IRS data. So if you self-identified in certain independent businesses, then you were counted. They also counted employees of creative businesses that weren't just nonprofits. They were galleries and architects and and educators and all different types. And they found that over 22,000 people in the state of Maine are creative workers, essentially. And that's it's 3.6% of our total. No, it's 3.1% of our total employment in Maine, which is pretty impressive.
And higher than in other states?
Higher than other states, not as high as some other states.
Okay.
But
yeah,
but there are pockets of Maine that are have very high concentration of creative workers. Like Portland has a very high concentration of creative workers for the population size, which we thought was pretty pretty amazing.
Larry, how would you characterize the health of the arts sector in Portland?
Well, you know, just as a participant and somebody who goes to things, I think it's just extraordinary. First of all, our little museum, which is not such a little museum, is probably one of the best museums in the United States for its size, if not the best museum. It's one of the few museums that runs fairly profitably during the course of the year because of the fact that it has such great community support. Our membership at the Portland Museum of Art is somewhere around 8,000 family households. And if you compare that with almost any other population place in the United States, we are way ahead of everybody else. I mean, you realize that we have the same number of memberships as, say, Minneapolis or Indianapolis, places that have much bigger populations. So there's a very high percentage of attendance at the museum. If you go to just attending some of the arts things that we do, some of the music stuff that we go to, the Chamber Music Festival, which has a big following, and Choral Arts, which is not just people attending, but also people singing, because it's an all-volunteer choir. You are talking about hundreds of people involved on a regular basis in participation in projecting of choral music. Mm-hmm. And if you things that I'm not involved in except just to attend, you go to the Portland Stage Company or the Good Theater. We have terrific theater here that virtually sell out almost every performance. So I think that there's great participation in terms of people going to things. And, of course, you realize that when somebody goes to something, they don't just go to that thing. They come in, they eat dinner, they maybe buy something along the way. So there's a lot of encouragement for participation and fiscal responsibility on the part of people who are going to things.
Saskia, is it the same story in rural Maine?
I wouldn't call it the same. It's you know, there's different challenges and opportunities in rural Maine, but I think as far as a level of support amongst the community, definitely people are very active. And you know, if the arts events are at a community center, that's where people are going. And there's also just so much support for the things that children are doing. If there's a children's theater or if it's the sports games, you just see such huge turnout from the community for those events.
Are there any newer festivals or events that you're really excited about and want to share with people?
I don't know about newer. There's a lot of ongoing things. One of my favorites that come to mind is the Kingfield Pops, which has been going on for a long time, but they just do such a fantastic job at growing every year and expanding their audience. And, you know, they have the Bangor Symphony Orchestra play outside with the beautiful view of the mountains in the background in Kingfield. And it draws a lot of families together, which is nice to see that, you know, you can bring your kids to a festival and just let them run, and it just feels very safe. And other parts of the state, I mean, Waterville Creates is doing a lot of interesting things there. It's a pretty big area to think about, but
yeah. Yeah. If you'd like to join the conversation, we're talking about the arts in Maine. We'd love you to join us. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. You can email us at talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. Julie, I understand there's something new you want to talk about, something with a deadline coming up.
Yes. We are launching the first Maine Arts Awards, and the nomination deadline is March 8th. This is something that many other states do to just raise visibility of the arts across the state. And we're really excited to be doing this. The Arts Commission and Arts Engage Me are partnering together on this event. And the very first awards will actually be held in conjunction with our conference next fall, which will be September 28th. At USM, actually.
So what are the categories for the award? If I'm sitting at home someone to nominate.
So we're I believe there are seven categories, and it'll be lifetime achievement in the arts, business, so the most outstanding business and how they contribute to the arts, an arts education award, a community award, an artist award, a rural organization, and a philanthropist award.
And what do you hope to achieve with the awards, other than spotlighting some of the fantastic things going on in Maine?
Well, in other states, sometimes these are fundraisers. And specifically, this would be a fundraiser for Arts Engage Me to help us do what we need to do. Because Arts Engage Me is also a new organization. It's the Arts Commission's 501c3 support organization that will also be our statewide arts advocacy organization. And so in order for us to do what we need to do as far as advocacy is concerned, we need certain tools. And one of those things is something called Voter Voice, which is an online tool that allows us to send out blasts when things like the NEA are under threat, or if we want to send out messages about the state budget and where the arts fall into the state budget, or if there's any other kind of an alert or issue that we want to get out there. Voter Voice allows people to connect directly to their representatives and send messages, which is really a neat thing. That's just one example.
And Larry, that's you, right?
That's
you're,
Larry.
You're going to be the bulldog for the arts in Maine?
Well, if you want to call me a bulldog, I don't know, maybe an attack wolf. I don't know.
But, a moose. Yeah.
But no, I'm going to be the president. I am the president of it. And I'm very excited about the possibility of getting volunteer contributions to support the arts all over the state. There's a generally pretty good support system in Portland, but when you get into the more rural areas of Maine, there isn't as much opportunity for donors to be able to make contributions. And what Arts Engage Me is going to do is encourage people from the more metropolitan areas in Maine to contribute to areas in the more rural parts of Maine and help them grow, help the rural arts agencies grow.
You're smiling, Saskia.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
One of our goals with Arts Engage Me is also to eventually create a statewide arts endowment. So that's something that we'll be working toward, which will be really great to help fill in some of the gaps that we're missing right now.
All right. Well, guess what? We have to take a quick break. As we do, we're going to play a little bit of pianist Orly Shaham, who will perform the Bartok Piano Concerto No. 3 with Lucas Richmond and the Bangor Symphony Orchestra Sunday at 3 at the Collins Center for the Arts. When we come back, your comments and questions. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do UMA, proud sponsor of the Maine High School Basketball Championship Weekend, March 2nd through the 4th, on Maine Public Television. And Maine Audubon, a community of people who understand that when Maine's wildlife thrives, Maine thrives. Learn more at maineaudubon.org. Next week on Speaking in Maine, we take you to the recent 31st annual Camden Conference.
Peace is in America's interest, and our leaders should not hesitate to say so.
How does this rise of populism affect American foreign policy?
The U.S. will need Europe, not just the other way around.
Renowned scholars, diplomats, and journalists from across the world address this year's theme, New World Disorder and America's Future. That's next week on Speaking in Maine, Monday through Thursday afternoon at 2 on Maine Public Radio.
I'm Mary Jo Heath. Join me for Puccini's beloved La Boheme. With a superlative cast starring Sonia Yontcheva and Michael Fabiano, Susanna Phillips and Lucas Meacham, Marco Armiliato conducts this timeless classic about youthful romance and heartbreak. La Boheme, Saturday, live on the Toll Brothers Metropolitan Opera International Radio Network.
Join us for Saturday Afternoon Opera tomorrow at 12:30. On Maine Public Classical.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, the impact of the arts on Maine. Joining me today, Saskia Reinholdt. She is an artist and owner of Reinholdt Consulting. She has a background in visual arts, teaching children art, and has started an artist co-op gallery. Julie Richard is Executive Director of the Maine Arts Commission, and Larry Rubenstein is President of Arts Engage Me. We invite you to join the conversation. Call us at 1-800-399-3566. Again, that's 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. What you were just then hearing in the background was Maine's own Paul Sullivan, and that selection was Headed Home from his CD, Christmas in Maine. So I'm going to start here with an email. This is from Elaine. In addition to being a primary force in boosting the rural economy, the arts can help attract young people to our elderly state and so deserve more state support. Read dollars. Saskia, you as a young person came to Maine. Would you agree with Elaine?
Absolutely. And the Reinholdt Consulting business, primarily we do cultural plans, which really are looking to address things like that. So we look to identify cultural priorities and further community goals through strategic coordination and development of cultural assets to do things such as attract and retain youth and increase quality of life, increase learning opportunities for all ages. And I completely agree with that statement.
Larry, all one has to do is walk down Congress Street on a First Friday in Portland, and you see some young people.
You're not kidding. And also, if you take a look at what the museum has done with what's called the Contemporaries, which is a younger group of people who are interested in the arts, it's one of the most active groups of people you'll ever want to see anywhere. I think most museums in the country are dying to have groups like this, and we have one where we can't even have more people in because we have so many involved. It's just remarkable to see what kind of encouragement the arts institutions in the state give to younger people because they have the room to do it.
We'll go to Gail, who's calling from Yarmouth. Hi, Gail. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. My name is Gail. I'm from Yarmouth. I'm a board member at 317 Maine.
Oh, Gail, can I ask you a question? Are you on a speakerphone by chance?
No. I'm in my car.
Okay. So you're on a board of 317 Maine. Go ahead.
Yes, and I just want to raise awareness to this wonderful organization. Provides individual music lessons to children and people of all ages. There's a Little Roots program, there's an elder program, and they also, we network with 40 different communities, and there's just amazing music there. There's 26 teaching artists.
Oh, that's terrific, Gail. I'm gonna cut you off because your service doesn't sound great for the radio. But we got it. The 317 Maine is a great organization, and there are really other community-based organizations all over Maine that are doing great work as well.
It's remarkable, actually. I just did a creative aging teaching artist seminar the other day, and there were 20 artists from all over the state that came. For this two-hour session, and Chris Moore from 317 Maine came to learn more about the creative aging aspect. One of the things that 317 Maine does is work with older adults as well, and they have this group. One of the things when I was visiting a few months ago there, just to talk about their grants and those types of things, they showed me this retiree group of folk artists who had been taking private lessons and all came together to form a band, and they practice I don't know how many days a week, but then they go out into the community and do community events as well, which is just amazing. So they become this this wonderful group of retirees that loves to play music and really benefits in so many different ways. But there are, you know, pockets like that all over the state. I just met with Don Roy, who is the originator of a group called Fiddlicious, and they have like 80 to 100 people who have learned the fiddle, and they all get on the stage together and they play music together at various events around the state as well. And I've just never heard of things like this. It's amazing.
One of the things that 317 Maine is an organization I know something about because I have a lot of friends who are volunteers there, and they've bothered me about helping them get a capital campaign off the ground, which is an indication, by the way, of an institution's health. if they want to do something like that. It means that they're really looking to expand their facilities and build their program. But I also have a very good friend I ride a bike with who lives in Cape Elizabeth, who takes guitar lessons at 317 mm-hmm. Main Street, and he loves it. He won't miss a session. So, and this is a guy who's retired. So it does appeal to people of all ages. It's not just a school for little kids.
And Saskia, 317 Main is in southern Maine, I believe Yarmouth. And what is like that in other parts of the state?
Oh, well, the Rangeley Friends for the Arts and at the Lakeside Theater on Main Street in Rangeley, they do a fantastic job with dance classes and performance arts, music. And that's a great example of a group that just, you know, they've been around for 50 years, but they just got a actual physical location, the old movie theater, and turned it into a performance arts center. And it's attracting community members from the region, not just from Rangeley. So it's a really great example of a thriving art center.
And Skudik Arts for All in Winter Harbor is another great example. They do all kinds of different classes. They have a ukulele club. They do a weekly coffee where they have artists come in. They have concerts all year round. And that actually originated, Skudik Arts for All actually originated when the Navy left the Winter Harbor area and the community came together to figure out how they were going to move forward with this huge economic loss. And they decided that they were going to do it around the arts. So they formed Skudik Arts for All as a two-week festival that happened in the summer. And now that festival is just booming. In fact, they had a 65% increase in attendance this past summer. And now they are a year-round organization that has classes for kids, for adults, and everything in between, concerts, and all kinds of different programming. So they're a great success story example.
And what kind of role do the sort of legacy institutions have? I'm thinking of the Skowhegan School or Haystack. What do they bring to these smaller community centers? Is there a relationship?
Absolutely. We recently also met with the Skowhegan School, so interesting that you brought that up. Their co-directors are very dedicated to getting more involved in the community and in the area. That hadn't been the case in the past, and Katie and Sarah are focused absolutely on making sure that what they do is trying to integrate more in depth with what the cultural planning process went through. Skowhegan just completed a cultural planning process, and the Skowhegan School folks were involved with that. And they are making sure that they provide more programming for the community as well and doing things that are more outside of just their location during the summer. So I think we'll see more from Skowhegan School for sure. And Haystack has always been tried to integrate with the community and the area around them. They operate primarily in the summer and the early shoulder seasons, but they are very much a part of Deer Isle and the Deer Isle culture and work very closely with all the other cultural institutions up there.
We'll go to David, who's calling from the Bangor area. Hi, David. Go ahead. You're on Main Calling.
Yes. Good day. How are you?
Great.
Little background on myself. I do teach art, every type of painting and drawing as well as creative writing. And I think that one of the things that Maine has that other states don't seem to have, it's a sharing community. I think that everyone in the arts is out there to encourage other people to get involved in the arts. I think that whether it's music or artwork, it's an enhancement of people's senses. I was talking to a gentleman earlier on the phone, and I made mention of the fact that I left a class of senior students one night. And one of the ladies in the group was 91 years old, never taken a lesson in her life. And after four or five classes, I realized she wasted 89 years of her life. She was just an incredible, incredible artist. And that was buried inside her. And she never really pursued it until she found that part of herself. One night I was leaving class late, and I walked outside. There were two or three of my students standing back to me looking at a sunset. I said, "What are you doing?" And they said, "We've never seen a sunset quite like that before." before. What they were doing is they were seeing with the eyes of an artist, no different than a musician or someone learning music, doesn't just take for granted the overall music. They start hearing independent instruments, and they hear how the composition is put in place. I just think that Maine has such a surge of people that are just closet artists or closet musicians, and they have to find a resource out there and really reach out to get a hold of people that can help them find that part of themselves.
David, thanks so much for your call. Saskia, do you agree, a sharing spirit?
Absolutely. What came to mind was we had a community conversation in Skowhegan a few months ago for artists, and we got a pretty good turnout, maybe 20 artists. And one of the priorities that came out of that conversation was the desire to share art forms and mentor youth and pass on their knowledge to community members. And we also heard that quite a bit in Freeport as well. I think that he's absolutely correct that the majority of artists in Maine do have a desire to not so much compete as to share and grow. And
so they haven't come to Maine to be a hermit and escape the rest of the world and not work with others. They are willing to share.
I think so. That's what I've heard.
Yeah. We've got Lisa Facebook message. Thank you for this topic. Are there any numbers for the number of individuals that make art in some capacity as a secondary source of income? Do we have any idea?
Oh, let me think. If I had our cultural plan in front of us, I could at least take a shot at it. But what I can say is that when we did our cultural plan, we had over 1,000 artists respond to our artist surveys. And when I told my colleagues across the country about that, their jaws dropped. They could not believe the high response rate that we had of artists in our state. And I said, well, that's a direct reflection of the number of artists that we have in the state. And there are a great many artists, from what I remember, I think it was around the 30% area, where many, many of our artists they make part of their living making their art and part of their living doing something else that is or is not related to making art. So there is quite a large percentage of that.
We'll go to Say, calling from Portland. Hi, Say, go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. This is such an important topic that I think everybody should always be talking about constantly. So I love this, having this on the air today. I was just kind of curious. So in the migration of artists, as artists create the culture and, you know, create the vibrant cities, the migration from San Francisco being such a creation hub, from the artists now moving down to Los Angeles over the last 5 years because of rising rent increases, cost of living, et cetera. Do you see this from any of you professionals that know more about this than I do? Do you see any future implications for us here in Maine and our economy, you know, with our growth or, any trends over the next 5 to 10 years of, you know, migration that could impact us either in a positive or negative way?
Interesting. That's a really interesting question. Mm-hmm. I think anecdotally, I feel as though there's a lot of people moving to places like Biddeford and Lewiston who may have been 20 years ago looking at Portland.
That's true. And there are even artists who have lived in Portland for a while who have now decided to move to Skowhegan or Belfast. Gentrification is becoming, I know it's been a topic of discussion here in Portland, but yes, artists are moving out to other areas of the state that are perceived to be less expensive to live. But there are also a lot of artists that are moving from San Francisco or moving from Brooklyn to Portland or to parts of Maine.
That's what I was going to ask, Larry. You came from New York to Maine, and I bet you know some artists who did as well, right?
I certainly do. By the way, if you take a look at the history of oil painting and what goes on, I think that half the great artists in the United States have some kind of foot in Portland. Or in Maine.
In Maine.
Just remarkable. I mean, you take a look at the great living artists of today, Lois Dodd, who has a place up in Cushing. I mean, these are people who operate out of a number of different locations, but they all want to be in Maine for at least part of the year because it helps contribute to their creativity. And they drag other people along with them because the world knows when when a world famous artist shows up in Maine, or sometimes musicians who will want to come up here and spend weeks up here because of the fact that Maine is just a great place to be during the summertime. You'd be surprised how many people, if we tell them we'll buy them a lobster, would be happy to come up here and give a concert. And there is a lot of that. And they end up bringing people. They have followings that come up here. I can think of one great organist who came up here to play on the Kochmar organ. And we ended up with 900 people in the audience, most of whom were not from Maine. They came up to hear this guy play, and I know that they stayed overnight and they participated in other activities. So there's a lot of draw that goes along with this in terms of the arts in Maine.
Well, Paul Sullivan is one of those artists, too, who was living in New York and performing in New York and decided that he was going to move everything up here to Maine. And he's a Grammy-winning musician.
Well, we do have to take another quick break. As we go to that break, you're going to listen to jazz musician R.J. Miller. He's out of Brunswick. This cut is called Ronald's Rhythm. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Evergreen Subaru in Auburn, committed to going the extra mile for its customers with a new express service lane. Learn more at evergreensubaru.com. Maine Community Foundation, celebrating 35 years of investing in Maine communities. Learn more at mainecf.org. And Friends School of Portland for preschool through grade 8, teaching peace in a changing world. More information at friendsschoolofportland.org.
The hydropower that's being sought to solve New England's energy needs comes from massive dams hundreds of miles north in Quebec. They're a point of pride for some and a point of suffering for others.
We here in Quebec, the little French Canadians who were building those huge dams.
Everything was lost without any kind of compensation.
The other end of the line. This week on Next from the New England News Collaborative.
Next is coming up in about 20 minutes after Maine Calling at 2 o'clock on Maine Public Radio.
After winning the famous Menuhin competition, the young violinist on this week's From the Top was dizzy with joy. When a conductor congratulated her, she didn't really know what she was saying when she said yes to performing with his famous orchestra. Only problem was it involved playing music she had never played, and the concert was the following week. Hear this great story and her wonderful performance on From the Top this week.
Join us for From the Top. That's tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock on Maine Public Classical.
What is a day? What is a year of vain delight and pleasure? Like to a dream it endless dies, and from us like a vapor flies.
And welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling today on the program The Arts in Maine. Joining me, Larry Rubenstein, president of Arts Engage Me, Saskia Reinholt, an artist and owner of Reinholt Consulting, and Julie Richard, executive director of the Maine Arts Commission. Join our conversation, 1-800-399-3566. And that voice you just heard was tenor Timothy Neil Johnson and lutenist Timothy Burris, from the Portland early music group Music's Quill. And the song, the piece is What is a Day by Philip Rossiter. So I want to go to a Facebook post from Alejandro. Excited to hear today's show about arts in Maine, such a rich history of art in our state. Wanted to share information about art and canoe trips that Apiarian Expeditions L3C will be putting on with Tessa Green O'Brien and J.K. Putnam Photography this summer. And I'm going to guess that this is just one example of innovative things that are going on where the arts and here outdoors are crossing.
And just things that we don't necessarily know about. My husband and I were in Camden one day. I was at a meeting and we stopped into one of the inns to have a glass of wine and ran into somebody who had basically rented out the entire inn for a four-day knitting seminar that was run by Vogue Knitting. And these people had paid a lot of money to be there to experience fiber arts in Maine. It was amazing. And I found out that Maine is the number one state for fiber arts in the country. So these things are happening all over the place that, you know, we might not even be on our radar because they're generated from someplace out of state and brought in.
We'll go to Blaine calling from Bangor. Hi, Blaine. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the program today, Jennifer. It's great and good conversation. I want to talk about the performing arts, specifically improv comedy. And here in Bangor, there's actually a pretty neat little improv comedy that's been going on over the past 2 or 3 years. There's a few different groups here, some at the professional level, like in Chicago, Second City Chicago, which is Improv Acadia. And then some smaller groups that have performed here for a while. And myself, I wanted to tap into David, the previous caller from Bangor that talked about lots of exposure to the arts. So for me, a few years ago, I went to a local improv show in Bangor, and I'd never done it before or had any interest. And I just watched these guys on stage and women and just fell in love with it and then started taking classes. And so they were the impetus for me to to go out and do it. Now, I'm not as good as them. I've only been doing it for 2 or 3 years, but I'm having a great time at it. And in December of 2016, I started my own show in Bangor, about a monthly show. It's an improv jam. And we do a couple of hours of whose line is it anyway game type things. And we let people come up and perform who are improvisers that know how to do it, but it's a jam. So we also let the audience come up and we host at a local bar. And so we give them business for the night. And it's just been this really fun event that people have been gravitating towards. And I've just been having a great time with it. Last week, I had a show Thursday night. And then Friday night, there was another improv comedy show in Bangor. And then Saturday night, another one. I'm in a show tonight. And there's another one going on tomorrow night in Bangor. So it's just really great. And when you get exposed to it, like Dave was talking, the one thing I wanted to just ask your people, the panel there, is the whole concept of getting the word out, because we all have our groups on Facebook, but if people in Portland don't know about us or people in Skowhegan don't know about us, it's that whole sort of putting it out there. So I would just be curious to hear what they have for.
Okay. And Blaine, what I'm going to suggest to you is to put any information you want on the Maine Calling Facebook page mm-hmm. right now. But Julie, what are some suggestions or Saskia or Larry for getting the word out if you are a part of something that you want to spread the word about?
Well, we also have a directory on our website, so you can just sign up for free and you can post any press releases or events on our website and they pop up as opportunities and we select some of those when we do our monthly or biweekly e-blasts. I would definitely recommend that they do that. They should also sign up for NEFA's, the New England Foundation for the Arts, Creative Ground Directory as well, because they also, it's also a really great resource for people when they're looking for things to do and that type of thing.
I think also with social media, it's really important to not just post, but find ways to get your audience to repost and mm-hmm. and engage. And in that sense, you're spreading the word, you know, word of mouth, but virally, exponentially through the internet. If you can get people who see your post to engage, so maybe there's an incentive to it. But that is a really fast way to spread the word.
Blaine, thanks so much for your call. An email from Chrissy Allen. She works for the Blue Hill Heritage Trust. She says, together with Cynthia Winings Gallery, we started the Open Air Arts Initiative. We're in our third season with our second show up at the Blue Hill Public Library. The mission of the Open Air Arts Initiative is to help create connections between young people and the landscape through art. It has been a wonderfully successful program so far. It has even garnered national attention. I encourage all of your guests or anyone in the arts community to reach out to their local land trust for more potential collaborations like this in the future. I know the Cape Elizabeth Land Trust also has a day where really fine artists come and paint. And then the paintings are auctioned off to raise money for the land trust. So She's encouraging other galleries, other arts institutions, and land trusts to pair up. Larry.
As long as she mentioned Blue Hill, one of the really terrific music festivals in the United States is at Kneisel Hall in Blue Hill, where they have some of the very best performers from all over the world come in. And they could probably make a wonderful trip out of doing what she's talking about and going to a concert. So there's a lot of opportunities like that all over the state.
She's also talking about the rich tradition of plein air painting here in Maine, that goes back centuries. And there are many, many plein air festivals around the state where excellent artists from around the country and here in Maine paint outside. That's the beauty of it. And really enjoy the Maine landscape, both the sea and the mountains.
AJ sent us a Facebook message. I visited Colorado a little while ago, and they had a great little studio called Ready Paint Fire. And I was wondering if there's anything like that in Maine, where you can pay a studio fee for a week, and then the additional cost for whatever project you want to work on, whether it was painting a canvas or painting ceramics or a mosaic, where you pay a studio fee and then go in during that week anytime and work on your project.
I know there are. Off the top of my head, I think Watershed might do some drop-in. Mally Weber, who owns Hollowell Clayworks in Hollowell, has some opportunities like that. There are pockets of those all over the place.
Sure, and AJ posted this on Facebook, so maybe if you know of one, you can go respond to his post on Facebook and reply to that. Christine wants to tell us about Maine Fiber Arts, a statewide organization based in Topsom, doing creative economy programming for years, tour maps, studio tours. So that's also on our Facebook page, Maine Fiber Arts. And then she writes, this very weekend, a homegrown fiber arts event is happening in Freeport. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is called The Spa, Knit and Spin. Two women decided to get away to an inn in the middle of winter and spin and knit and have dinners out. They told others, and it is now in its 14th year. The event fills three inns in Freeport and several B&Bs. People come from New York to Maine and fill these hotels, buying from vendors, visiting local yarn shops, and dining out and supporting many businesses. That's the kind of thing you're talking about, right, Julie?
Absolutely. In fact, I just talked to her yesterday about her grant.
Speaking of grants, we just have a couple minutes left. Tell us about the grants available through the Maine Arts Commissions and again, about the awards.
I would definitely like to drive people to our website, mainearts.com. Organizational project grant deadlines are March 1st. Artist project deadlines are March 8th. So they're coming right up. Look on our website and call the appropriate staff if you have any questions or concerns or just want to try to apply. I would highly recommend it. Also, the Arts Awards nomination deadline is March 8th. We very, very much want your nominations. So think about those people that you think are special throughout the state and send in a nomination. And then I also wanted to just talk very quickly about our February 27th luncheon with Randy Cohen, who is coming in from Americans for the Arts. This will be at Point Lookout on Tuesday, and Dee Schneidman from NEFA. And both of them are going to talk about these economic impact studies that were recently conducted, and that it's going to be a great event. So you can also sign up for that on our website.
All right, and I'll link your website to our Facebook page. Thank you so much, all three of you. Julie Richard, Executive Director of the Maine Arts Commission. Saskia Reinhold, an artist and owner of Reinhold Consulting, LLC, and Larry Rubenstein, president of Arts Engage Me. We're going to go out today with music played by the DePonte String Quartet. This is from Dvorak's American String Quartet. Roddy Nickpour ran the board today. We had additional help from Robin Rylett. You can find past editions of Maine Calling, as well as a link to our audio archives, at mainecalling.org. Today's program will be broadcast again tonight at 7. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.